Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
You know, everything changes in His presence. Everything changes in His presence. Everything changes in an instant. I can trace my wanting to walk with Jesus back to an encounter I had. I was a total rebellious preacher's kid, wanted nothing to do with hypocritical Christianity. I wasn't just a little bit opposed, but I was massively opposed to it. And my dad had retired from the Army as a chaplain and moved to Waco, Texas, and become friends with a guy. And, you know, the guy was totally anointed, and he was a little weird, because sometimes anointed people can be a little weird. You don't have to be. I like to think I'm not, but it happens, okay? So this guy was a long-distance trucker, and I think he had overdosed on Benny Hinn messages. And, but you know, my dad's a farm boy from the country, and he had a saying that goes, God hits some pretty good licks with crooked sticks. And I remember this guy, he was a little strange, and he was like, I felt the Lord say, next time we get together, there's going to be an explosion in the spirit. And I was thinking, this guy is a certified Fruit Loop. And he started praying for my dad. My dad went out under the power of the Spirit. And I was like, that's my dad. He'll do a courtesy fall for anybody. And then he prayed for my mom. Now, my mom's a proper Southern woman. And she went down under the power. And I was like, well, that's unusual. Okay, mental note. Then he prayed for my brother, who is very reserved and conservative. He went down under the power of the Spirit. And then I was like, oh no, I'm in trouble. Because this is real. My brother would not fall down under the power of the Spirit unless it was 100% real. Money back, guarantee on that. And so he prayed for me, and I went out under the power of the Spirit. This rebellious preacher's son who hated Christians. I broke into a church, guys, in my senior year and stole like $3,000 worth of audio equipment in the church that my dad had pastored in at times. I mean, so I was just a little bit rebellious. And later on, as I became a Christian, I went and turned myself back into the cops. That's a whole nother story. But for that, they're like, why are you here? I'm like, to report a crime that I did years ago. And anyway, that's a side point. I'm getting distracted. And that guy prayed for me, and I went out under the power of the Spirit, and waves of love came over me. And what had happened was, all of a sudden, it wasn't knowledge that changed my paradigm. I encountered this power of God that I had never before encountered. And I would have thought, the way I thought was, well, if I'm going to encounter God's power, it's going to be under extreme conviction. He's going to come and he's going to basically say, look, if you don't repent, I'm going to kill you right now. But that wasn't it at all. It was waves of love that washed over me. And I remember thinking, what in the world is happening to me? And I went to sleep that night. And as I went to sleep, I had a dream that this dove came and landed on my shoulder. And I felt the same pleasure, waves of love wash over my body. And it was in that encounter that I started pursuing Jesus. It wasn't out of the knowledge. I didn't even have, guys, at that point in my life, my theology wasn't even correct. I didn't even fully comprehend grace, Jesus, all the theology of the Bible. All I knew was, I don't know, this God that I thought I knew, I heard about, is real. The Holy Spirit is real, and His love for me is actually tangible. It was so tangible, it transformed me in an instant. And I look back to all these years of following Jesus and the journeys take me on, and I go to that one encounter. So that's not my message tonight. That's an intro. But that the reason I'm saying that is because when we're worshiping tonight, we had a few flubs in there. I don't really care. Great. Me and Brandon can get together and practice more. The musicianship can be worked out. We live in a culture right now that's permeated by churches that are building up phenomenal worship bands. I'm not opposed to this. My church has phenomenal, like crystal clear, awesome worship, and people are entering in. I'm not opposed to this. I'm just saying the purpose of worship is to encounter Him. We are not called to be a consumer society. The purpose of worship is to come into His presence. So anyway, that's my little... Yes, Jesus, thank you for your presence. It's so freaking delicious. To get in God's presence is so good. So anyway, I'm Mike Goodwin. I am an engineer by trade, but first I'm a lover of God. And I have three children. Our oldest is a senior in high school. And then I have a sixth grader and I have a first grader. And my lovely wife, where are you at, baby? She's right over there. She's amazing. She's in full-time ministry with Arizona Baptist Children's Services. And this is my second year being back. But I just want to share tonight, when we set this up, it's to be a night of worship and encounter, but my passion is to share and be able to teach and preach whenever I have a chance. And as soon as we set this up, immediately God woke me up at 2 a.m. and he gave me what to preach on. And initially I was excited because I'm like, well, that's great. God wakes you up at 2 a.m. after you set up the time and he tells you what to speak on. I was excited, but I'll be honest with you. At first I was excited, but then as I started to try to prepare the message and really dig in, it just wasn't coming. And ironically, over the last 2 months, I've had to mine this message out. But it's actually appropriate because what I'm speaking on tonight, are you ready for this? What I'm speaking on tonight is the perseverance and endurance. Just let that set on you for a second. How does that make you feel? Did I hand you a light and fluffy? Do you feel that cotton candy that was put in front of you? Perseverance and endurance. And it's funny because I actually had to persevere in getting this message, but I feel like I'm qualified to preach this message because, you know, I don't come from a background where I'm like, well, I was an amazing athlete. I've been an amazing scholar. I have all these accomplishments. I literally grew up, I was a terrible student. I was not athletic. I mean, I literally, if I encountered a challenge, I quit. I remember distinctly getting into a bowling league in first grade and being like, this kid stole my shoes. And I'm like, I'm quitting. I'm done. And I remember just whenever the going got tough, I quit football my junior year of high school. You know, I just didn't like the challenge. So I feel qualified to speak on this because you're not getting someone who's come from a driven background. You're getting someone who is a reformed ex-quitter. My name is Mike Goodwin. I'm a faithful believer in Jesus Christ, and I'm recovering from quitting. I'm recovered from quitting. That's like a celebrate recovery thing. No one got it except me. It's totally fine. But I want you to close your eyes for a second and just picture something with me. I want you to, in your mind's eye, what do you see? I want you to picture an Olympic long-distance runner, okay? Just picture an Olympic long-distance runner. What do they look like, okay? Now I want you to picture Chris Hemsworth, who plays Thor in the Marvel movies. Okay, open your eyes. Ladies. There was way too many smiles when I said picture Chris Hemsworth. So that comparison is actually perfect for perseverance and endurance because when you look at someone who's lifting weights, when you look at someone who's built themselves up and become muscular, it's so easy to see that. You can point someone out from a mile away and go, well, they obviously lift weights, they're huge. But when's the last time you've looked at someone and been like, hey, I've been checking you out. And I just get the impression that you have a really strong set of robust lungs inside of you. And I also get the impression that your heart is really developed and it's able to pump oxygen and blood to every point of your body. We've never said that because that would be completely ridiculous. But I will say this. It's easy it's easy to identify a totally ripped athlete. But I will say this. Cardiovascular conditioning is in the realm of the athletics that perseverance is in the kingdom. So if you're going to have any athlete that's worth their salt in any sport, they must have cardio. I'm a big fan of fighting. I don't know if that's politically correct in church, but UFC and all those guys, they're going to be guys who are better skilled fighters, but they can't make it because they'll gas out in the second or third rounds. So cardio will take you the distance. And I'll say this, perseverance and endurance are some of the most underrated attributes and character traits of the Christian life. For the reason that I just pointed out, it's not exciting, it is not dynamic. But I wanna share a story with you. I got saved, I got involved into an amazing church in Waco, Texas. I had about 500 college students that were passionately following the Lord. I was able to lead a guy to the Lord, the first guy I'd ever done drugs with, I led him to Jesus. And he started coming to church with me in Waco, Texas. And as we were going to church one night, I was in a season of life where God was starting to deal with this quitter stuff inside of me. Some of these hurts, habits, and hangups, some of the stuff inside my character that was not great, God was starting to mold me. And it was just a harder season I was in. Well, Tommy had just gotten saved and he was on cloud 9. He was like, rah, rah, rah. And as I was dropping him off to church one night, he was like, Mike, you just need more fire. You need to be going for it. And he was like giving me the pep talk. And I was trying to explain that God was just dealing with me on some things. And he's like, man, you just need to get a fresh fire inside of you. And he gets out and goes into church. And I'm sitting there, and I've been in this season of God just working on these character issues in me. And I say, Lord, I need to hear you. What are you saying? And I'll never forget what he said. He said, Michael, the Christian life is not a sprint. The Christian life is a marathon. And immediately when he said that, I knew what he was saying. He was saying, Michael, the stuff I'm trying to work into you right now, the stuff, the clay that I have your heart, I'm molding right now, the stuff I'm working into you is going to be good for the long distance. It's going to be good for you to become a finisher. So don't get discouraged from someone who's sprinting in front of you right now. By the way, if someone is sprinting, keep on going. I can't stand it when young on fire Christians are on fire and people are like, don't worry, honey. One day you'll understand. Like, if someone is on fire and running hard after God, we're to encourage them and push them along. So I will say this. When I say you need to develop perseverance and endurance, what comes to mind? So if I would say, you guys, you need to develop perseverance and endurance, what immediately happens? You know what comes to my mind? It's like a movie like Rocky or something, where you push deep down inside of yourself to find an inner strength that you didn't know you had, and then you break through and you have victory. But that's not the kingdom, you guys. In the kingdom, perseverance is totally different. We don't go and look inside ourselves for it. We allow the roots of our heart and our life to sink deep down into the things of God. So my first point is this. If we are going to be a people who have perseverance and endurance in us, we have to learn how to become love. The highest calling in our Christian life is to become love, to become people who walk in love. That is absolute, the pinnacle of the Christian walk is to learn to walk in love. It is of his very nature, and he desires us to have his nature. If we are missing love, we're missing the whole point of the Christian walk. So that brings me to a scripture that you guys may have heard of a few times. 1 Corinthians 13:4-7, and I'm going to read it for you. So it says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. It keeps no records of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Listen to this. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. That last part of enduring through every circumstance is actually translated in a lot of translations, perseverance. So I don't know how many times I've heard that scripture. I don't know how many times I've heard pastors and people say and revivalists say we are to become love, but I don't know if I've ever really thought about becoming love in the context of allowing God to persevere, to work that in us. But I will say this, if we're going to be a people who walk in love and walk in perseverance, we must know the God who perseveres on our behalf. You must know that you have a God who perseveres on your behalf. If we don't have an understanding of the character of the Father, then we'll try to look to ourselves to push through. But I will tell you this, guys. There's a prayer in Ephesians where Paul prays that the roots of your heart will go deep down into his love. And we are to be a people who are called to have the roots of our heart deeply laid down into the Father's heart and to draw from a place of perseverance and endurance because we know he is a God who perseveres and endures on our side. The church is called to be a place of love. And let me tell you, I had a really good friend years ago. I won't go into my whole story, but I had a point where I'd really come back to the Lord about 12 years ago. And I met a guy that was absolute vital in my coming back. And he ended up having a prayer group at his house that we met for probably to 3 or 4 years, and we saw God do amazing things. People will get healed, people will get set free, people delivered. And this guy was a natural leader. He actually went down to Brazil with Randy Clark. We saw amazing miracles. We went to India with him and a team of people, prayed for hundreds of people, saw incredible miracles. We saw deaf ears pop open. We saw blind eyes see. We literally saw the book of Acts unfold in front of us. This guy was a complete leader, but he had massive hidden sexual sin in his life. Hardcore, massive sexual sin. And one night when I was at a revival meeting and I was actually co-leading it, I got a call that the cops had showed up at my buddy's house. And to make a long story short, he had a family, a bunch of little girls, and he ended up going to jail for 7 years. And he lost everything. He lost his wife. He lost his kids. He lost it all. And he got out. He got out about a year and a half ago. And we've reconnected our friendship, and we've been hanging out. And the reason I bring him up is because there's a pattern in the church in the past, and I don't mean this church, I mean the church as a whole. I mean, we're growing up in the 80s, where if you violate trust, if you mess up to that level, then you're disposable. Then we can just throw you away. But what do we do with people who have a genuine calling, have a genuine anointing on their life, and they go violate something so bad, where the cops show up and they have to go to trial, and then they lose their wife and they lose their kids? What do we do with those guys? Do we just write them off? Is all hope gone? Does God give up on us like that? He does not. Love always endures every circumstance. Love always perseveres on our behalf. You guys, if we understand how much Father God perseveres, endures, and walks with us through everything we've been through, then we can be that for others. And you know what? I wish I could tell you my buddy's been out and it's been a flawless road for him, but it's not. It's been full of bumps and bruises. And there's times where I get frustrated with him and I'm like, bro, oh, you're getting me here. Come on, you're killing me. But we're to walk with people and not have a disposable kingdom. We're not to have people in the kingdom that are disposable. I remember going out to a rave one night before I was saved, and I saw a guy shot, bleeding out in front of me, and I came home like at 3 in the morning, and my mom answered the door. As soon as I was about to open it, she opened it up. And I'm like, hi, Mom. And she's like, what happened tonight? I saw a guy shot. She's like, I knew something had happened because the Lord woke me up and I've been interceding for you all night long. Dude, do we need people interceding for us? Maybe God is developing perseverance and endurance for you so you can be love for someone. Maybe you have a child that's not walking with Jesus. Maybe you have a friend that you've been really close to that's totally walked away from the Lord. Maybe you have someone that genuinely loves the Lord, but they have major hangups. They have a sexual pornography addiction. What do we do with that stuff? You guys are called to walk alongside, to intercede. I was going through some stuff a couple weeks ago, and actually our worship pastor at our church, I called him and talked to him, and was just talking to him and say, man, I really need someone to come alongside me right now. And I kind of got through that conversation. He prayed with me, and a few days later, you know what I realized? I realized everything had shifted in my life. The things that were weighing me down were completely gone, and I saw him about a week later, and I was like, hey, Chris, I was just wondering, man, you've been praying for me? And he's like, yeah, absolutely. And I was like, that's incredible. And there was a complete shift from having one conversation, being transparent, having someone come and intercede on my behalf, persevere and endure on my behalf in prayer. There was a total lifting. So I know there's some intercessors out there. So I say that on your behalf. Don't give up. So on the thing, too, of not making disposable believers, I'll say this, because this is something I'm actually learning and parenting right now. The old covenant is based on punishment. You know, it's okay to have a need for justice, guys. I have a strong justice meter. When I see something in the news, you know, I see someone walking down the street by themselves and they get jumped by a crowd of people and get beat to a pulp, I get severely ticked off. My justice meter rises up and I'm like, that is not okay. That has to be addressed. But here's the deal. So justice is fine, but we have to know in the new covenant, how do we deal with injustice? How do we deal with trust violation? How do we deal with that stuff? The old covenant is based on punishment. The new covenant is based on connection, rehabilitation, and restoration. Did you hear that? Old covenant, justice demands you be punished. New covenant, Jesus took our punishment. And he demands that we walk in love, which looks like restoration, connection, and wholeness, and rehabilitation. And quite honestly, where I feel like my wife works with a lot of people who are ex-convicts who've gotten out of jail, and we've had some exposure to that. And you know what I'm learning as we do that? You can have someone who has to go pay for their crimes and spend years in jail, but when they get out, we've set up a system that's just punitive. And I believe God's heart is for rehabilitation. We know people who are completely on fire for the Lord, who've changed their life around completely, but they just can't even pay the bills because they can't get a job because they have a record. And their lives are completely transformed. They're not the same person. God's heart for us, guys, is to be a people who can walk with others into rehabilitation and restoration. He doesn't throw you away. I'm so thankful the Lord didn't give up on me. So thankful for my mama praying for me all the time. My second point is this: you will not have maturity without perseverance. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 4 says this: consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Now listen to this. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So how many times have you guys heard the scripture? I've heard it hundreds of times. And every time I hear it, I'm like, even to this day, I'm like, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. And I always felt like that's like an abstract challenge, because I'm like, Lord, I'll be honest with you. If you probably tallied up the times that I've reacted with joy with the trials in my life, it may be like a negative 0.01. I don't know if my deficit is really that great, you know? It's not something I'm really fantastic at walking in. A lot of times I'm questioning God. But, you know, I've read that 100 times, but look at this. Consider it pure joy. Why? Why are you considering it pure joy? Because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance. So I don't typically associate joy and perseverance in the same word. But I will say this: if God is saying consider it pure joy when you're facing trials because it's developing perseverance, maybe God's value for perseverance is on a whole different scale that maybe we put it on. Maybe he looks at us and he knows what it takes for us to have that. Maybe he knows what it's going to be for us to be a finisher if we have that in our life. God is in the business of growing us up. He's in the business of making us like Jesus. You guys, do you realize that God has called you to be a finisher? Do you realize that God has called you to be one who completes the things he's put in front of you? Imagine if you took the story of Joseph and you took out all the adversity from the story of Joseph. In fact, imagine any story you love in the Old Testament and you take out the adversity in it. It doesn't work, does it? It's not the same thing. Imagine if the story of Joseph was this. Joseph was a young man with many brothers. His dad loved him the most. So his dad gave him really great clothes. He wore Giorgio Armani everywhere he went. And his dad gave him an incredible amount of money and sent him to the best prep school in the United States of America. While he was at this prep school, he exceeded because he was loved and he happened to be good looking and he was smart. Yes, he was one of those people. And then an Egyptian prince hears about this guy, flies over, and then flies him back to Egypt, and he becomes one of the chief people in Egypt. And then famine hits America. And Joseph calls for his parents and sends them over to Egypt, and they live happily ever after. How does that story sound to you? It's absolutely atrocious, and it's boring. And it wasn't that good when I made it up in the first place. But it really wasn't that good when you took all the adversity out of it. Because God is building maturity in us. God is building within us to become a finisher. There's a Proverbs that I've always thought was a little puzzling. It's Proverbs 24:10. Listen to this. If you fail under pressure, your strength is too small. If you fail under pressure, your strength is too small. I always thought that was a weird proverb. I'm like, Lord, what are you saying? If you fail under pressure, your strength is too small. Here's my takeaway from it. The time to have strength of character, perseverance, endurance in you is not when you're hitting the trials full on. It's beforehand when God is developing maturity in you. You know, earlier I talked about being in a season of God molding my character. And I know that there was a time where early on just yielding to the things of God and saying, Lord, whatever you want in my life. And you know, some of those things were just being consistent and telling the truth all the time. And no, I didn't have a problem with lying. I wasn't a liar. But I remember one time being in a class that I had an A in, and I had calculated everything out, and I realized if I didn't go to my last lab, I would still get an A in the class. So I was not going to go to the last lab because I figured there's no need to do it. And I talked to a guy, and he's like, you ready for your lab? And I'm like, I'm not going. He's like, why? I said, well, I already have an A in the class, and if I go to it, it's not going to affect my grade. And he said, didn't you know if you don't attend every single lab, you fail the class, you get a zero? I said, are you kidding me? He's like, no. I'm like, that's insane. Are you sure? He's like, and I went and talked to a few other people. He's like, yeah, if you don't attend every lab, you fail the entire course. He's like, dude, I've done the lab. You know how to do this? I looked at it. Yeah, I know how to do that. He's like, just copy it. You already know it. So I copied it, turned it in. And then for about a week, Holy Spirit was like, what'd you do, bud? I was like, Lord, I knew that stuff. You know, if I'd have known that I had to do that, I would have done the assignment. And the Lord was like, okay. And I just kept on feeling this weight. Whenever I'd spend time with God, I felt this weight. And part of the season I was in where God just said, Mike, you know what you did wasn't of me. So I ended up calling the professor of this class during one of my breaks. And I said, you know, I need to tell you something. I'm a Christian. And I gave him the whole scenario. I had calculated my grade. I'd already had an A. And I didn't want to go to your class. And I realized if I didn't go, I'd fail it. And the guy handed me his paper, and I copied it, but I didn't do the work. And I'm not sure what you want to do, but I'm a Christian, and I just want to let you know that I want to walk with the integrity of Christ. And it was silent on the other end of the line. And he's like, well, you know you could get into serious trouble with the university over this, right? I said, yeah. I said, I know. He's like, you know that potentially we could expel you if we had to really bring this up. I said, yeah, yes, sir. He's like, even with that knowledge, you still want to turn yourself in. I said, sir, I'm a Christian, and I couldn't get any peace, and I just felt like this is what God was calling me to do. And he's silent. He's like, do you have my next course? I said, yes, sir, I do. He's like, the first lab of this next course is the same one we just did. As long as you promise me you'll come in and do it, it's not a big deal. We're not going to even worry about it, okay? I said, I really appreciate that. He's like, it's no problem. And you know what's interesting? Later on, I had interactions with this guy. He ended up becoming a huge advocate for me. And I remember him telling several other prominent professors in the school, he said, I wish I could hire this kid, and I wish I could hire 10 like him. So the very thing I feared actually turned around. It reflected the glory of God, just trying to walk in integrity. And I'm guarantee you one thing. Do you think there wasn't some perseverance in that circumstance? It absolutely was. It was those muscles that God was developing inside of me. It was those things he was working within me. Which brings me to my last point. Perseverance requires promise. Perseverance requires promise. It's the promises that will allow you to continue to push in and persevere. I've worked for a lot of startup companies, a couple of startup companies, I should say. And I worked for one for the previous company I'm in. I worked for one for about 9 years before that. And it was a wild ride. It was a biotech startup. We literally started in a garage, ended up growing the company, get purchased by the Japanese. And I saw some incredible things. But it was a really tumultuous time. At one point, I thought I was going to have to be a whistleblower and call the FDA. And because we had a product that wasn't performing as we had advertised. In fact, it was much more egregious than that. But it was in a time I just got married. I had a young family. And so I knew my job was in jeopardy. And it was just a really hard season. The CEO split the company in half, and he said, the people that believe the product work sit over here. You're the believers. The people who don't believe the product work sit over there. You're the non-believers. So I was a non-believer. I was one of the non-believers. But I share that just to say this company was pretty crazy. And they ended up firing all the executive staff. We got purchased by the Japanese. We got new executive staff. I got promoted into management. I was able to develop a lot of new business processes and run manufacturing and service and develop some international capabilities for our business. And I was able to grow through there, but it was still dysfunctional in so many ways. And have you ever been at a place or a job or a relationship that you're like, I'm going to leave it, but the reality is I probably should have left it like 3 years ago? Because I got to that point 3 years ago. That's where I was with this job. And I really started seeking the Lord with my wife. I said, Lord, I really need something else. And Lord, I asked that you give me a job that's like a piece of a puzzle. That would be the perfect fit. So I kept on applying and praying and applying. And I ended up getting an interview with the company I'm in now. And it just seemed to fall in place. A friend of ours, you know, gave me a connection, and I'd seen the job posting, and I got an interview immediately. Ended up interviewing with him a few times and got the job in. Little did I know that I was going to enter into the most difficult job of my entire life. Just technically, just the tasks at hand were literally the hardest. It is the hardest job I've ever been a part of. And so you can imagine, like 6 months into this job, I'm thinking, Lord, I don't know if my idea and your idea were the same, but when I said perfect fit, this was not what I had in mind. Because ironically, at my previous job, even though it was dysfunctional, I had incredible compensation. I had incredible benefits. I knew the product inside and out. I was the local expert on it, and things were easy. I was in cruise control. Then I'm asking the Lord to bring me into a new season, and he does that, and all of a sudden I'm like, this is not exactly what I had in mind. This is really difficult. And in conjunction with that, we just had some stuff happen in our family. We just had some stuff that we're going through that was really, really hard. So we entered into a season of 2016 that was just a really, really difficult season. And I got to the point where I was ready to jump ship, which was hard for me. I've been spoiled rotten. I've been really blessed in my career that it was so funny because I was like, I'm like a little kid. I've gotten every job I've interviewed with my entire life except one. And I'm like, when I didn't get hired, I'm like, did something go wrong? Did you know that we were talking? Are you sure you don't want to hire me? I was so confused, but that's a side point. So I started saying, Lord, and I started hitting walls. I looked at different opportunities. I started networking. Everything I looked at was just a wall. And I was like, Lord, I don't get what's going on, but I hate this season. And you know why I hated this season? It wasn't because it was the first season that's been hard. You guys, I've had tons of seasons in my life that were hard. I've had lots of hard seasons. It was nothing new. You know what it was? I felt like I had endured a previous 9-year season, and I had earned a break. I had earned a new platform. I had earned a new level of being on cruise control. And when I hit a new season that was harder than the old season, I was not happy. So I was seeking the Lord one morning, and I was praying, and I was like, Lord, I just need to hear you. I don't know what you're doing. And I saw a picture in my mind's eye. And in the picture, I was walking over a bridge, and I had a pickaxe, an axe, like a pickaxe, on my shoulder, and Jesus was next to me. And I was walking over this bridge. And I'm kind of watching this happen, and I'm thinking to myself, well, at some point, I should probably ask Jesus what I'm doing with the pickaxe. So I say, Lord, what am I doing with the pickaxe? And he's like, oh, you're about to sabotage the bridge. And I knew he was right. I knew that I was about to sabotage the bridge. I did not like the transition I was in. It was hard. It was a hard season in every aspect of my life. Spiritually, it was hard. It was hard at home with family stuff going on. It was hard at my job. It was just not easy. It was unrelenting on every front. And the Lord said, you're trying to sabotage this process. I had this axe, and I was ready to go to town on it because I didn't like it. And he's like, the reason you're about to sabotage this bridge is because you can't see to the other side. And what I was seeing was a chasm of a cliff here, a bridge going to another cliff, and the bridge was a transition to the cliff. And he's like, you're only staring at your circumstance. You're only staring at the bridge that you're in, and you're not looking to the promise that I have for you. And as soon as he said that, I was like, oh my gosh, you're absolutely right. That's like a classic Joyce Meyer sermon about the children of Israel looking at the promised land. I heard that a million times growing up. How come I didn't see that? But it was so obvious. I was like, you're right, Lord. I don't have any promise. And I don't see what you're doing. And I hate this transition. And he said, Mike, you need to renew the promise that I have for you. And you know what it was? It wasn't that the Lord gave me this fantastic revelation and said, I am going to establish you and you will be a business. No, no, no dramatic prophecies or revelation. You know what it was? It was a changing of my heart to say, Lord, I really don't understand what you're doing, but I yield to you. I yield to you and I believe that you have my best interests in mind. I believe that you have my best in mind. I believe that you really are for me, and I'm going to yield to this process. And it's been really cool because in the last few months, I've seen a total transition at my job. I just technically being able to really click in and understand things. And just to give you a context, guys, I have a business degree. I have an associate's in applied science. I work in an engineering company. We have like 40 employees. 7 of those have optical PhDs. I work with NASA and JPL. I'm surrounded by, like, I tell my wife, I'm like, I used to think I knew a lot of smart people, but I'm like, I'm surrounded by absolutely brilliant people. I mean, I work with people who have algorithms named after them. I was talking to one of my founders the other day about this crazy piece of technology, and just casually out of his mouth, he goes, oh yeah, it was crazy, because when I worked back in NASA in the 80s, I thought I invented this, then I realized it had been patented a few years earlier. And I'm like, when you worked at NASA in the 80s, you thought you had invented this technology. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, I have a business degree, but I'm an engineer. And you know what? God's equipped me. I've been able to do the job. I've had good reviews. They're happy with me. And you know what? I look back and I just go, God, I always thought I was going to be a preacher and be a pastor of a church. I didn't really think I'd be in business and be involved in technology and be going to NASA and be working with PhDs all the time. But you know what I can do? I can look back and go, I think God had a promise in mind when he looked over Mike Goodwin's life. I think that he knew if I took this career path that it would transform me into the person that he's called me to be. There's so many things in my life that would not be there if I'd have gone a different route. There's so many things that he's taught me and stretched me in if I wouldn't have grabbed hold of the path he's called me to. So even the wise men needed a North Star for guidance. So you need promise to persevere. So when I'm asking for this message, and again, even preaching it tonight, I feel it. Sometimes I can just flow and I feel things are just rolling off the tongue. Even this message, man, I feel like I'm pushing it through. But as I ask the Lord continually, Lord, why are you having me teach on this? What's on your mind? You asked me specifically to teach on perseverance and endurance. Why are you having me teach this? And there's a few things that he showed me very clearly. He said, Mike, there's a bunch of people there that have lost sight of the promise that I have for them. And they've grown weary because of it. And he showed me also, he said, Michael, there's people there that are in the thick of it. And they're tired and they're weary of having to push through. And I want to give them hope. And I want to renew promise in them. God has called you to be an overcomer. It's in your DNA. Do you understand that Father God is so absolutely committed to you? Committed to you in the process, in the thick of it, and what you're going through? If you have an orphan mindset, you'll lose sight of the Father. If you have the mindset of an orphan, if God has abandoned you in the midst of what you're going through, then you'll lose heart. But he has sent the spirit of adoption into you. He has called you a son and a daughter. Orphans can't see where they're going, but sons and daughters may not know where they're going, but they can reach up and they always have the hand of the Father to grab hold of. They always have the hand of the Father to grab hold of. I just saw a picture as soon as I said that. Saw a picture of a little child going through one of those little pits full of balls, you know, all the foam in the ball pits, and going through and just getting stuck in that. And all they did was reach their hand out. And then Father God reaches in there and grabs him and pulls him out. And I feel like that's his heart tonight. So I want to leave you with a few thoughts. Don't sabotage the process you're in. Don't sabotage the things God's working in for you. Don't sabotage yourself in a hard season, because I guarantee you there is promised land on the other side. I guarantee you that you can't see it now, but God is building maturity inside of you. You'll be able to look back in a few years and go, I did not get that season, but I can look back now and I can see God was working Jesus inside of me like I was a piece of clay. He was working the character and the life of Christ inside of me. I also want to exhort you to become love. And there's no way you can become love if you're a quitter. And that's not what you are. You're a finisher. Jesus was a finisher. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame. God has called you to be a finisher. He's called you to walk in love. I want to exhort you to walk with those in the kingdom that are wounded, that have let you down, that have failed you, that have hurt you, that have sinned, that have hurt other people. I want to encourage you to persevere and walk with them. You guys, there's a need for that in the kingdom. I guarantee you, there's a lot of Christians out there that are beat up and broken, and there's no one really left to give them a chance. And I want to say, we need to be people who are the people who will give them a chance. We need to be the people that believe in others at all costs. I'm going to pray over you. So Father, we release right now, we release breakthrough to those who are trudging through and are weary in the phase of life they've been called to, God. I ask that you'd bring release right now. Father, I'm asking that you'd reveal your heart again for them. I ask that you'd remind them that you are so for them, that you're not opposing them, God, that you're pulling them through. Father, I ask that you release your strength and endurance and perseverance right now. I ask that you'd release it right now, God.